This is Tony Todd, and you're going to be listening to the Girls Will Be Ghouls podcast. Stay tuned.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Girls Will Be Ghouls, episode 18. It's Xena, Real Queen of Horror, here with Ashley of GraveyardChickSisters.com.
Hey, we're back.
So after this long, well, it hasn't been that long, but it felt so long, this long break that we took, we have a great episode in store for you guys. Our theme discussion is going to be on horror soundtracks. Then we're going to have a movie discussion on The Black Cult's Daughter, aka February. So before we dive into our episode, I just wanted to tell you guys why we took a little break. My family was actually visiting, and it's a big deal because my family never comes down here. They never come to Florida. And I finally have a family member that moved to Florida. They moved about 2.5 hours away. And my aunt and uncle, and I'm really excited that they're down here. He always told me I'm going to retire to Florida, you know, retire in Florida, but I didn't believe him. And then he finally did, and it's just like, and he's the cool uncle. He's the uncle that will watch movies with you, whatever movie you want. He'll play video. He's a heavy, heavy video game guy. He's one of the reasons, as well as with my sister, why I recently started playing this this horror game. Are you into video games?
I am not, but I think I saw you tweet about it. What game is it?
It is... Wait...
As she tries to find this game.
Where'd it go?
Oh, yeah, because she's still in boxes, people.
Yes, I am. Still in boxes. Where did it go? Is my cat meowing? It's Until Dawn.
Have you been playing it lately or no?
No, the last time I played it was actually like a week and a half ago. So it is called Until Dawn. It's kind of like a... It's an RPG, but you can kind of like create your own story. So, and I heard that it's pretty long, and one of the reasons why I started playing. My sister, who's really into video games as well, she suggested it to me, her and her husband, and that I would really enjoy it. So, there you go. Sorry about that. I was running around trying to find the, I have no idea where it is. But yeah, my family was visiting, and then I also moved, so as Ashley said, I'm still in boxes and still living kind of in a temporary spot. I went from living in a 2-bedroom to 1-bedroom, and then we'll be moving again about in a week. No, 2 weeks. So it's been pretty crazy living out of boxes.
Yeah, that's a lot. I don't particularly like moving myself. Once I'm settled, it's nice, but
yeah,
the whole moving part is a hassle. So I understand.
Definitely. So there was just simply... truth be told, no time for us to record. And, you know, I felt awful about that. But at the same time, it was for the best because who knows how that episode would have turned out. Things would have been awful and awkward. So,
and yeah, both of us work, too. That's the other thing. We don't want to work. We want to work on what we enjoy and make money off of that. But unfortunately, yes, that is not our lives yet. So...
But if you're a listener and you can help us make that happen.
I'm saying.
You know, you need to come forth and you need to help us out. Please and thank you.
Because we are qualified filmmakers and writers. So. But yeah. Same with me. I've been mostly just relaxing. I have been behind the scenes in the trenches, kind of like, you know, getting opportunities for doing a lot of traveling and doing a lot of planning and being on a committee or two as far as film festivals and things of that nature. So I don't want to announce anything too prematurely. So I have a busy, very, very busy fall ahead of me. So I was encouraged by our friend Jamie Broadnax to start a Patreon, and which was not easy for me because I do not like asking for money. But on the flip side, I do a lot of labor that, you know, people do appreciate. So, you know, if you can throw me $1 a month, like really, especially with my Twitter followers, my Twitter followers alone, if you have $1 a month that you can spare, that it would really add up. And it would just really help me primarily, you know, I'm able to purchase more DVDs and books for giveaways because I love kind of like, you know, giving information to other people and sharing it. And you know, it'll give me a more time to not worry too much about money. As far as, you know, being able to do things for people who do kind of follow the website. Also, you know, my first priority is paying, you know, the contributors, the very, very few who had do take out the time and energy to cover things that I am, number one, not interested in, and number two, I'm not an expertise in as either. So, you know, for example, Eden Royce, who is just killing it with, you know, getting exposure for women fiction writers who delve into horror and genre work. And so that's been an invaluable resource as well. So I definitely want to, you know, give her a few dollars. And also people in different cities, you know what I mean? Like, you guys have horror events that, you know, I would love to get your, you know, your coverage or your presence from. So if I can give you a few dollars just to, like, write an article about that, that would be awesome. And also just, you know, as far as, you know, I'm also going to Fantastic Fest next week. And, yes, you know, just, you know, whatever Austin Uber is, they don't have Uber proper. But, you know, to get around would be a lot, you know, to have a few dollars to get from point A to point B, that would be like a load off of my shoulders, too.
Mm-hmm. So with Fantastic Fest, I have to ask, what movies are you looking forward to checking out?
Sure, just real quick. So Anna Lily Amirpour is back with her second feature called The Bad Batch. I think it's her second feature. But off the success of A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, I'm really excited about seeing The Bad Batch. Yolanda Ross is in it. Yolanda Ross is a character actress right now. She hasn't really, I don't think she has really like broken out, but she has a great presence in the movie Lila and Eve. Also, The Get Down. She's been in a couple other things as well. She was in the Whitney Houston movie.
Okay.
That was on Lifetime. So I'm excited about seeing her in it and supporting her. I'm also excited about The Girl with All the Gifts, which is like the much buzzed about film right now, and that stars Senia Nanua. And so I'm excited about checking that out. And like I said before, I am going to Black Friday the hell out of people to get into that screening because I need to see this film.
I don't know if this is your kind of movie, but what do you think about, because I know they're going to be showing The Greasy Strangler, so.
I kind of make the Rick and Morty face, because I can't, I saw the trailer for it, and it's too bizarre for me.
It's the kind of movie that you don't see every day, so.
It really is, and I don't know if that's, and for me, I don't know if that's good or bad, so.
Yeah.
And I think, and that's the other thing, too, like, I'm just the later shows. I don't know how conscious I'm going to be because there's a lot of films in 8 days, in about 7-8 days. So it's like, yeah. if I'm there too late, like I'm just and this has happened to me before. Like I've fallen asleep on films and just have not overall enjoyed the experience because my body and my mind just wants to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to not do too many late shows or if I can avoid them at all. Like the latest I kind of want to take in a film is really like an 8 o'clock slot. Like I'm just not a night person. That's the other thing. Like I'm just one of those weird people that just like I'm up at 6 a.m. and like I have the energy of a squirrel, but like at 9-10 I'm just like, okay, I need to be in a coma because I'm just done for the day. So we'll see. I'll be in a different environment. It'll be a different vibe. So I don't know if I'm going to have that energy. I hope I do. I'm not trying to be pessimistic, but I also know myself well enough at this point to not overdo it because I have a shelf life as far as days.
I can see that. It's understandable. I wanted to also ask you this because I just found that out when I was looking at the website again, the Fantastic Fest. The movie A Monster Calls, they're going to be showing that as well. And it's not really a horror. I mean, there's a monster in it. I don't know. But, you know, the one that's based off of a book.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The trailer looked like it would be pretty cool. It looked like a fantasy kind of a drama.
I'm keeping my options open as far as the films that are playing. I know I have my top picks, but if there's nothing else going on, I'll definitely, yeah. you know, like a Monster Calls was one of those ones where I looked at the title. I was like, oh, what's this about? So mm-hmm. it's definitely on my radar. But I don't know when I'll be in Austin again. So I want to see as much of the city as I possibly can. So I want to kind of split my time equally between, you know, getting out of the draft house and also, mm-hmm. you know, networking and also seeing a plenty of films.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
And you're going to pretty much the draft house. So isn't that like the headquarters of all that draft house?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Greatest movie theater ever.
Yeah, I've never been to a draft house, so this will be really nice.
It's amazing. Who are you looking forward to meet?
Everyone. But I'm really happy that this week Clark Wolf said she'd be there.
Awesome.
I'm a big fan of Collider Nightmares mm-hmm. and all the work she's done, and she's been a really big supporter of Graveyard Shift Sisters virtually from the beginning.
Awesome.
And that kind of support, just, you know, following me on Twitter, like that kind of, like those little things mean a lot
mm-hmm.
and they're invaluable to me. Just the faith people have in the work that I do
right.
is really nice.
Okay. So why don't you tell us about your t-shirts?
Okay. So also a part of, you know, doing the Patreon thing, I finally got the general logo for Graveyard Shift Sisters on TeePublic. So you can now get it in either black or white. I also, this is kind of a call out to any kind of illustrators or artists. I don't know how it works entirely, but I kind of want to work with someone who could do some really cool graphics about, like, you know, have like black women, like vampires, or like, you know, like a cartoon looking Freddy Krueger or something for a t-shirt or something like that. Like, I really would love to, I'll pay you. We'll work out some kind of payment plan, or, you know, me giving you a couple of dollars to just, you know, do a really cool graphic for a t-shirt so we can have more of a variety on there, not just the logo.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that would be pretty neat. And it would be extremely unique because you don't really see stuff like that on, like, you know, you can't just go to a convention and find, like, you know, a little, like, you know, a cartoony looking Blackula or
mm-hmm.
any of the other characters that we know, or, like, you know, I would love stuff like that. And I think it would be really cool to offer, but I'm not one of those digital animation designers. I can't do, like, all the cool stuff. I used to dabble with it when I was a kid, but I'm not really an expert at it. So if you are, and you want to work with me and you love horror, please email me. I want you to tell everything that you've been up to.
Okay, so last night I checked out Blair Witch. And I wasn't too sure going into it if it was a remake or just like a third installment. Because, you know, by going on Twitter and just looking at the hashtag Blair Witch, people were saying how it's a remake. And I watched very few trailers as well as I read very few reviews. So I knew what it was kind of about, but not really. So I'll just say, without any spoilers, I enjoyed the movie, and it's definitely a third one. It's the third one. I really liked the first one. The second one was just terrible, and it should be banned. It made no sense. It ruined my childhood. But then with this one, you know, it was refreshing. It was great. I don't think it was the scariest movie I've ever seen. There were some creepy parts, and there were plenty of jump scares. But if you are a fan of found footage, which, surprisingly, I'm not too big on found footage. I'll watch it, but I'm not crazy about it, which I'll get into more about this one found footage horror film, horror thriller that literally changed my life. But with this one, I enjoyed it. And I mean, of course, there's still questions that need to be answered, but I'm hoping that that means that there'll be another one for us. Do you plan on checking it out?
Yeah, I just haven't gotten an opportunity to check it out yet, unfortunately. Getting out of my house on a weeknight after work is a hassle, so I miss out on a lot of free screenings, unfortunately. But I had debated on whether I should see it or not this week, but I'm really trying to save my penny, so
mm-hmm.
unfortunately I can at the moment. But I will definitely see it eventually. It's definitely, you know, when it was just called The Woods and they were, and I saw the trailer for that, it looked decent. And I'm not against found footage. I'm not burnt out by it. I'm still always interested in seeing it. Also, I do take, I don't know if the word is umbrage with people who say it's a remake and were speculating if it was a remake. I think that's really, really odd that people are saying that it was a remake. I think they were just maybe just kind of speculating or not knowing the full story, because it's just like, or maybe this just this reactionary culture that we have to, like, if a new horror movie comes out and it's has the same name or similar name or similar theme to a movie that was done before, it's automatically a remake, and that's just not true. Mm-hmm. Like, I read, like, a without spoiling it for anyone, I did read kind of a line of the synopsis where it's just like, no, it's a continuation of the right. first one. So I'm like, well, where are you getting a remake from? It's just a sequel, yes. of sorts. So, so I mean, that to me is also very interesting. That it isn't just, you know, a straight remake, that they're kind of continuing off a story that was already done. And yeah, I mean, back in 1999 when the film came out, that was like super sensationalized, and it was one of those stories and marketing ploys that you could not get away, you couldn't escape from, because mm-hmm. everyone was going to go see this movie, or everyone was talking about this movie. And so I think, even when they announced it at San Diego Comic-Con, it was like, you know, oh, it's going to be a Blair Witch movie. I'm just like, well, it sounded okay when it was just The Woods. But
But, so, I mean, hopefully this will also get, like, the younger crowd to check out the first one, because it is a great movie.
So. I hope so. It's different, because you gotta, there's definitely this, and I've noticed this just from, like, hearing other people on other podcasts and just... Not really me, like me just being an observer. Like, there are, you know, I remember one time I was listening to a podcast and someone was talking about seeing the re-release of The Exorcist in the theater, and she's in her early 40s, and this was kind of a teenager that she overheard coming out of the theater, and he said, like, oh, well, that was boring, and her initial reaction was to, like, yell at that kid and be like, oh, show some respect. And I thought that was funny, because, mm-hmm. and I'm saying that because they're like, sometimes there's a generational gap where things that were scary or things that aesthetically appealed to us when we were younger is totally the opposite for people who are a generation, you know, beneath us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how, like, and I think, and you can't say that for, like, every single person who is a teenager right now, because some people might really, like, respond to the original Blair Witch Project, and, you know, right. they might have a really positive reaction to it as far as their fear factor and their overall enjoyment of it. Mm-hmm. But it's safe to assume to a degree that some of them might be kind of turned off by it, or think it's boring, or not, you know, or think it looks too old for them, or saying something ridiculous, but right, you never right. know. That's always the hope. I think I can speak for myself, even starting film school when I was 17 or 18, not film school, but like, when I started at an arts university, we had to take like film 101, and a lot of us were kind of just like, you know, hemming and hawing about seeing black and white films. But then, you know, as the class went on, we gained an appreciation for them. There was a richness to the characters and the stories that they were telling. And so that, again, there are myriad of possibilities. I do really hope that they make that connection, like that this new Blair Witch makes them so interested in seeing the other, even two. I know you don't like part two. I didn't see part two, but just seeing the other ones and kind of, you know, connecting the dots and seeing, oh, okay, this is how the story started.
Mm-hmm. I just meant, like, I mean, I don't care if they like it. Like, I don't care. Just spend your money on it, because I feel I always love when people just watch horror movies in general. I mean, I know it doesn't put money in my pocket, but it's just a good thing when people are talking about horror movies. And say with this one, because it's brand new, and there were some people that were just babies, or probably not even born when the first one came out. Because of that, I'm just saying, I just hope that they found part three so great that, hey, I want to go back and, you know, take a look at what happened on the first one, since it's so connected I won't say how, even though I know it's in the synopsis, but just in case if someone, they didn't read the synopsis, and I'm not going to spoil it, but just so they, just, I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm sorry.
I do. No.
Okay. But yeah,
I mean. We're pretty much saying the same thing.
Right. Sort of. Okay. But yeah, that's all I meant. But yeah, if you are, if you ever get a chance to check it out, I'd like to know like what you think about it. Just your thoughts on that.
Yeah, definitely. Whenever I see it, probably won't be till VOD at this point. But
that's fine. Well, is there anything else you wanted to share with us, like what you've been up to?
No, not that I don't want to share. It's just there's nothing that's really been super eventful. I guess I will say, since we haven't talked in a while, back in. Was it early August? Something, I don't remember. But like the Black Star Film Festival in Philadelphia, our friend and filmmaker, Arshanae Williams, screened her film Paralysis there. And it was really cool because I feel like Black Star has a history of not really delving into genre films. I don't know why. I guess because they don't get a lot of submissions or whatever. But as far as horror and sci-fi, you really don't see them. And Paralysis is your horror psychological thriller type of film. And I just wanted to mainly comment on the reaction of the audience. Because, again, there wasn't like a horror block of films. It was your overall general kind of like coming of, like, you know, short films that were coming of agey or socially conscious or delving into some really depressing subject. Not to say that they weren't enjoyable, but, you know, I was really there for Paralysis. And I'd seen the movie before, of course, but to see the reaction of a predominantly Black audience was very, very fun, because there was a lot of, like, you know, There was a lot of, like, you know, jarring reactions that you heard or, you know, seen from people in the venue that we were in, and I thought that was really, really great. And the response, you know, even with those, the response was very, very overall positive. And I just wanted to make a statement about that, because I think it's really important to support support women of color and men as well, men of color and women of color filmmakers who want to do these kind of projects, because there's clearly an audience for them. Even if they don't know what they expect, they do take this a delight in seeing them, and it's very important that we support them, because I hear from plenty of people over and over again that they don't feel like they get the respect or the exposure they deserve because they are people of color making genre films, and for some reason that's still a thing that's not seen as, I guess, normal, or I don't know the right word right now, but it's, you know, I don't have to tell you, but I mean, like, if you really are enjoying certain films and they're done by people of color that are horror, sci-fi, any of that kind of stuff, you know, your comments or compliments or feedback, or, you know, your excitement for it, all that good stuff is very, very important to them, because it encourages them.
I can see that, and I would love to check out her film. I saw the poster for it. It looks like it's great.
Yeah, we will work on that for sure.
Okay,
so you can see it.
Okay, and you enjoyed the movie overall.
Oh yeah, it's one of my favorite films to come out recently. The length aside, short film, feature length, it doesn't matter. It's a really, really great film. I dare say it. It's a film for me that is near perfect. I don't think there's a such thing as a perfect film, maybe, but this comes close.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we have to make that happen for me. So. Okay, so I'm just going to go into what I've been up to. That's okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so last month I went to this filmmaker's workshop that's held about 20 minutes from me. And it was pretty cool to go to, because you have those, I don't know, I feel like I've run into so many cocky filmmakers who feel like they know everything. And it's kind of like, okay, then why are you here? Because the film commissioner of the city was actually running it, and he was just going over professional suggestions as well as his personal opinion kind of suggestions on what to do. And something he said he felt like people should put a lot of money into the cast. That's important. You know, which I can totally see, because one of the first questions that people will ask, like say if a movie's coming out, people will ask, well, who's in it? So there you go. Right.
Right.
So this guy, there was a guy that was in the workshop who constantly was raising his hand and, you know, just being very snippy, and just, he was just angry. Like he was just an angry little man. And he was just, he was like, well, how can you? And I got it. I got what he was saying. He was saying, how can you get the money to pay for a cast when you don't have the money for, you know, other things? And I totally can get it. And he said, well, you know, but, you know, the film commissioner, Tony is his name. He was very professional and he stayed calm. He didn't roll his eyes like everybody else was doing. He just said, well, then that's why you invest. There's, you know, there's a lot of films, like people have ideas. People have ideas all day long to do movies, but there are people who have ideas or they have films in work for years. And, you know, sometimes it's not going to come out when you want it to come out, you know, and, you know, it's not going to be released right away.
Right.
The guy was still angry, but it was just weird because that very day, it was on a Saturday, I decided that I wanted to go to two different events. I wanted to go so bad, which was a bad idea because it was completely draining. They were on just opposite ends of the city. So it was just hard to do. But anyway, so that was in the morning. And then after that, I went to Tampa Bay Screams Convention, and there were a lot of local filmmakers. They did horror, but it was more of the sleazy kind of a horror. You know, not bashing them. It works for them. That's what they like. I was able to meet some people who I follow on Twitter, actually, and one Facebook friend. So that was pretty cool. He came all the way from either Texas or Ohio. So it was pretty cool. Yeah, it was cool. So the guests that they had some scream queens. One, her name was Rhonda Shears. She was in this local kind of very B-rated horror that was filmed here. I haven't seen that one, but I do plan on checking it out because she was really nice. Very, very nice woman. There was also Patty Mullins from Frankenhooker, as well as, I forgot her name, but she's from Splatter University. So it was pretty cool, and I kind of got there late. I got there probably about 2 or 3 hours before they were going to close. So it was kind of awkward because people was just like staring at me because I was one of the very few people who was walking around. And it was a very small convention, but I was able to meet some cool people who live around here, as well as Tampa Bay's Grindhouse Films. I went to their store one time where they have like these cult horror movies. It's just pretty much like a video store. They're an online store, and they actually have like a storefront in Tampa. So it's pretty cool to see the owner again. He's a real cool guy. I also plan on going to Spooky Empire, which is the second weekend of October. They have like some great guests coming this year. Bay of Blood is going to be this upcoming weekend. So this Friday to Sunday, I believe, they're going to have the cast from Friday the 13th 2, as well as The Burning, and showing some old classic horror movies.
So jealous.
It seemed really cool. Like I've known about it. Actually, a coworker told me about it, which was like, whoa, because I haven't heard about it. And this was back in like May, and they're not up there, you know, price-wise, they're kind of the same around as Spooky Empire, but because their guests are people from movies that are older, I thought that it was a little pricey, but it seemed like it'll be a new experience. It's actually a couple who runs the convention, and it's their first year. So I thought that was awesome that they came together. Yeah, and then with this, you know, with Halloween season, full effect, it actually started. It been started for us horror fans, but it's like it never ends. But I plan on going to some local haunted attractions in the area. Already have the interviews set up. I just did one yesterday that I'm really excited to put out there.
Oh, nice.
Yes, this one is not your typical haunted house. Even though it's like a haunted attraction, I don't even know what to call it because it's something. It's not anything I've been to before. So, and I think more people need to know about it because I remember when I first heard about it, it was actually last October, and you know, I was downtown in Tampa, I was walking around, and then I saw this building, and it was kind of lit up like this neon kind of pink color, and there was some kind of party going on, and people were dressed like they were in the 1920s. I was like, whoa, what is that? Like, it just looked like some kind of fancy event. And I'll get into more details about that, but it's pretty exciting and it involves history. So if you are a fan of history, yeah, stay tuned for that. So that's pretty much all I've been up to. You know, been watching movies and trying to keep my life together in these boxes. So that's pretty much that. Okay, so are you ready to dive into our theme discussion on horror soundtracks?
I am.
Okay. Okay, so are you ready to dive into our theme discussion on horror soundtracks?
I am.
Okay.
Black Annis Horror Podcast. The podcast that will change your life forever.
Repetition of the repetition. Is that a word? That is now a word.
Intense.
Zero whatevers.
So insightful. You will question your place in the universe.
You just said you wanted to see somebody stab a fish.
Mind blowing.
That is not what. That's not. No.
Inspiring.
It's one of two things all the way through, either predictable or stupid.
Life changing.
This is going to be filled with spoilers.
Black Annis Horror Podcast. Exclusively available on the Legion Podcast Network.
It's almost like a little advertisement.
Yeah, the advert makes it sound so promising.
I feel like sometimes soundtracks are just as important as every other element of each of the films. And I think with, I don't know if horror is, I guess it is different in a sense where it plays on a lot of getting a reaction with particularly, you know, a score because it's trying to immerse you in a particular emotion. Again, I don't think that's unique to horror, but I guess if I were to say anything was particularly unique is those things that they do, which if you've watched enough horror films, for me personally, it gets kind of annoying at a point. Like I've been in theaters with my friends sitting next to me and I've like held my fingers to my ears because I'm waiting for that sting to come because my nerves are shot. And she's just like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just don't. I hate when they like turn up the volume.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a part of the soundtrack that's used. But especially within the past couple of years, I've grown an appreciation for just listening, especially having a day job where it's mostly data entry and I can listen, put my headphones on. I'll just kind of, you know, go to YouTube and put on a soundtrack and just let it kind of run for the duration. So there's no denying how important horror soundtracks are to films and our memory of them.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is. I was just thinking that it can either make or break a film. So, I mean, there was so many movies that I've watched and I felt like, you know, it's a great movie or I'm entertained. But then for some reason, when that music would come on, I'd just mute it because I can't take it. I've ran across that or I've ran across just ones that are so great where it's just like it makes up for, say, if the movie is kind of crappy, it kind of makes up for it. So,
yeah, I can see that. Definitely. It's funny. I know we're going to get into it more often, but it's hilarious. I've used, now when I was younger, it was the Tales from the Dark Side television show theme. It used to freak me out. And this was back, I was more aware of it when they put it in syndication on like one of those like local, on one of those local stations and they play it on Saturday afternoons. And even in the broad daylight, it would still kind of freak me out. And then when my youngest brother got a little bit older, I would like, you know, crank the volume up so he would hear it and it would freak him out so he wouldn't go to sleep. I take much delight in torturing him. And also, he's literally jumped at certain audio beats that came with Halloween, the original. So mm-hmm. I kind of love seeing people have reactions that way, even though sometimes they annoy me too.
And,
or annoy or torture, whatever word is best that fit in that category. But it's interesting how horror soundtracks or the themes that they use, like, you know, sometimes they can freak you out and they scare you, but you still find them so fascinating that you do listen to them, or you do take some kind of enjoyment in giving them a second, third listen, or even downloading them on your iTunes.
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid, Tales from the Crypt TV series. It used to freak me out, but I was more excited because I would still like just watch it with my mom. I don't really remember watching it in, because I know the show came out 1989 or 1988.
I think so. I think it's 89, 90.
Okay. So even with that show, I don't remember watching it, you know, obviously as that young, but I remember watching it when I was about, I want to say 8 or 9 years old. And, you know, because the Crypt Keeper, he was awesome, okay? Because even though it's like he was all moldy looking and he was just a skeleton, he always would say something like funny, it was still creepy, and he always give like the little message before the actual story. So when I heard that music, and I remember, I think it would come on Fridays, at least that's when my mom would watch it, and I'd watch it with her, and I just absolutely love it. So it brings back great memories as well. And still to this day, I find that, you know, whenever I listen to it, you know, kind of reminisce and like listening to it when I'm driving. So it's just a nice memory.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why I love these soundtracks. It also, it immerses you back into the your favorite parts of the show or the movie. Just like you said about like the Crypt Keeper. I know. I guess we'll get into it more as we can. I guess like we'll just kind of bounce off of each other's own ideas. Like I know what is like, and I kind of love doing it because I do a lot of walking. So I do, and I always have my headphones in. So it's like I like listening to. There's a song, and it's funny because one of my favorite podcasts, Skeleton Crew, they talked about this. They talked about one of their first episodes was when they did a Friday the 13th retrospective, and they talked about Jason Takes Manhattan, and they talked about that opening like song that they used. It wasn't like a part of the score. It was just like it was like one of those like soundtrack songs, whatever. Mm-hmm. And like they were kind of going like they're like. Two of the guests were kind of going back and forth about it. He was just like, "Dude, I listen to this song in my car at night," and yeah, I kind of understand. I think I understand where he's coming from because for me, that particular song, I really like it too. Like I'm like, oh my god, like I literally like I was Googling the hell out of because it was really difficult for me to find, but I finally found it, and yeah, like I had to download it and I had to listen to it. And it was something about that song, and it just took me back to that movie and about my enjoyment of it. Yeah, I know it's not a good movie, but I still do love Part 8, and mm-hmm. I like that song because it like conjures those memories, and it's overall just a really good song. So yeah, it's so you're talking about like so. Here, I think it's important to kind of talk about, like, there are particular, like, songs that are just, like, you know, the 3.5 minute long, you know, lyrics, chorus song, kind of songs. There's also scores that are a part of these films and TV shows as well.
Okay. So do you have favorite soundtracks? Do you want to start with shows first or movies?
I didn't even think about shows when we came up with this theme, to be perfectly honest with you. I have all movies, and then you mentioned TV shows. I'm just like, oh yeah, duh. So like I said, Tales from the Dark Side is my number one as far as television.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. Well, what about movies?
Again, okay. Just to go back, of course, American Horror Story, which a lot of people mention, but it is a really, really good soundtrack. A really, really good theme, has a really good theme song. I remember mm-hmm. when I first heard that theme song with the first season, I was freaked out because first of all, that paired with the imagery, I'm just like, what is this? Because I was a latecomer to American Horror Story. I kind of watched them when it first hit Netflix and when that first season did. And so, because I was just like, eh, I wasn't, you know, too gung-ho about it. But then, yeah, I really enjoyed that first season, and I enjoyed the way the theme made me feel, as far as, okay, this is getting into something. But as far as movies, definitely Psycho is a favorite, the original from 1960, which is Bernard Herrmann. The Halloween 3 soundtrack is great.
That is a good one.
Like a lot of people, Goblin is on top of my list, with Suspiria and Phenomena. Even some of the newer soundtracks, I think I'm seeing possibly on the horizon a lot of different, certain films are going to play off of what The Invitation, as far as the use of sound in that film is playing out. I think with this new movie with, what's his name? Oh my God, I forget his name. He was the guy from X-Men. He played the baby Charles Xavier. James McAvoy. His new movie, the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to the sound in the trailer and you think about The Invitation, they're very similar. And I think certain films with a certain tone or theme are going to kind of use what The Invitation has already done. And I'm pretty sure what has been done before The Invitation, but sounds similar. Also, The Guest has a really good soundtrack, a really good mix of score and just music or songs that they played in that film. Mm-hmm. So those are my top as far as that. Also, I've always been a fan of the A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, the Dream Master soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
Not the score, but I like the music that they play. Like, I like the Sinead O'Connor song that, if you listen to an extended version, features MC Light, which is one of my favorite MCs, period. And also the song Tuesday Night did for it is really great, too.
Okay. Anything else? Sorry, I was going to...
No, that's it.
Well, when you mentioned American Horror Story, that's one of my favorite soundtracks for shows, because I like the fact that, you know, even though the title sequence, it changes every season, but it kind of always stays the same, because it still has that same theme, but it matches whatever theme it is that season. So I really, really like that one. But my favorite so far is the first season's theme. There's just something about it that's, like, really creepy. So I love that one a lot. I guess I'll start with shows, if that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I love Dexter's scene. Well, his theme song, as well as just the opening in general, because it's kind of like his morning routine. And I believe that's what the song is called anyway. So that's a really cool one as well. It's not as dark as you think, because, you know, I don't know if you ever checked out Dexter, you know, but
the first two seasons, yes.
Yes. So with the show, it's not completely dark, even though, you know, he's a serial killer by night. But it still just matches the show really well. I also love the Monsters theme song. I've always liked it, because I remember when I first started watching it, like, I was like a little kid, probably third, fourth grade, during the summer.
I'm sorry, Munsters or
yes,
Monsters?
Munsters.
Okay.
So that one's really good. The Addams Family, of course, their TV show was great. And I think that's it in Masters of Horror. So love their opening theme. Like, I love when it first opens up and then there's just like the blood splattering on screen. And then it goes into it. And it's not as dark as you think. You know, sometimes when you listen to certain horror themes, it's completely dark. And you can tell, yeah, that was made for a horror movie. But this one, I feel like that could even be used for a drama. So that's just me. Movie-wise, I had a hard time just picking out favorites. Because I feel like there's so many great ones. So it's just hard for me just to... figure that out, but I guess I'll just tell you. So the first one I'm going to go with is Rosemary's Baby. The opening title, you know, when it first starts, I feel like that is a great opening, and it just fits the movie so well. I also love It Follows theme song. It's really creepy, and that definitely fits so well to the movie, and I just love the way it sounds. It kind of reminds me of the 80s. So that's always a plus. I also wanted to have John Carpenter's The Fog theme song. I remember when I was putting together a short horror movie, Hidden. It was Hidden. And I remember I listened to that until I was finished with it. So that kind of inspired me. So that's a really good one. Tourist Trap is another awesome movie. And this movie is always overlooked. I know that it's not the best movie, but the soundtrack, like, they have so many songs in the movie that just screams creepy, that screams horror movie. It's so disturbing, too. And I'm just surprised not more people talk about it. I'm also going to put Fright Night. Fright Night has a nice feel to it. I particularly love this song, even though it kind of sounds like a porno. But the song where Amy and Jerry, you know, they're about to party with each other. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's a really wonderful song. The Lost Boys, Cry Little Sister, classic. Have to put my favorite on here, Night of the Demons. I like pretty much all the music. And I believe that the music was done by the director, Kevin Tinney's brother. He did the music, but Computer Day is one of my favorites. I'm going to go with another Kevin Tenney movie, and that's Witchboard. That's a great one. I was going to mention The Guest as well. Candyman, you know, Philip Glass's, you know, It Was Always You, Helen. Mm-hmm. That one's great. Zombie, a.k.a. Zombie 2, came out in 78 or 79. That theme song is amazing. Someone needs to do, like, a Broadway show to it. It just may be me. Phantasm has an awesome theme song.
Yeah, I was going to mention that one again.
Love that one. Love it so much. And you mentioned Psycho. Psycho has a great, you know, soundtrack. Never, ever listen to it while you're driving. You will start speeding down the road. Of course, Halloween's theme. Another John Carpenter's. That one's great as well. And I like a Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Warriors one.
Mm-hmm.
That theme song is great as well, as well as with the Dream Master, you know, anything, Dramarama.
Yeah.
that's a wonderful, great song. And I'm trying to see if there's anything else I missed. There's also City of the Dead. There's an opening soundtrack, well, an opening song, and they pretty much play it throughout the whole movie. It sounds very 80s, and that's fine. I love 80s, and it was made in the 80s, so it's just, it sounds very creepy. And there's a couple of scenes in that movie that kind of inspired me. But yeah, that's pretty much all I have on that, you know, just a rundown on that. But I guess my absolute favorite would have to be Tourist Trap. They have a great soundtrack. And Zombie.
Yeah, there's no shortage of really good horror soundtracks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that we'll be here all day.
Yeah.
I mean, honorable mention to, you know, even The Conjuring, the way they play with music is really cool. Insidious as well. We talked about this before in another episode, but A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night has a really, really, really
yes.
great soundtrack as well. And a lot of people will say Scream as well.
Mm-hmm.
I had the Scream 2 soundtrack, not the score, but the soundtrack. And I could almost listen to it all the way through. That masterpiece song is an abomination. That's like the only one like I would skip over, because I'm just like, what the hell is this? And so I would just skip it and listen to everything else. It's awful.
Do you have ones, okay, besides from that one, that you just hate, where it's just like, nope?
What? I'm sorry.
Like terrible, like soundtracks, just soundtracks that you really don't care
about. Oh. It was just that one song on that soundtrack. No, not really. I never really gave any consideration to, like, you know, a terrible score or a terrible soundtrack, because if a soundtrack doesn't grab me, I just won't buy it.
Mm-hmm.
or even try to find it on YouTube or whatever. So I can't think of any bad ones off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, I have one. And you know, this one really, like, the movie wasn't the greatest, you know, it wasn't the greatest movie at all, but I still decided to give it a chance because nobody else was, to be honest. So the movie is called Ghost House, and I believe it was made in the late 80s, maybe 89. It's kind of like an Italian, it's an Italian-American horror, So I can't even tell you what it's about because I don't remember. It starts off one way, but then it completely changes. And just this theme song, like, you know how, like, okay, we mentioned Fright Night as an example. Fright Night had different songs throughout the whole movie, right? Not this one. This song that it would keep on playing that made no sense. So it's like there was some dead girl and her clown doll who was in this house, and for some reason people would just keep on stopping by the house. There was some random black guy, like, no, he was really random in the movie, and he was trying to, like, first he wanted a ride, and then he'll hit people and run. It's like, what? Like, it just didn't make any sense at all, and I was just wondering, why am I watching this? But I just couldn't keep my eyes off of it. Because the cover is really cool. You know, it has a really cool cover. It looks really creepy. And yeah, so this dead girl's in the house with her doll. And then they'll keep on playing this one song. They played it in the beginning. They played it when people were going to sleep. They played it when people were, like, secretly messing with each other. They just played it all the time. And this movie that's probably, like, I don't know, 70 minutes long, maybe 80. It was insane. It was ridiculous. And it was like, I think there was some little voice that was singing in it. And it was like, I know I wasn't the only person who thought it was annoying, so I had to Google it. I Googled it one day, and yeah, everybody was talking about how, wow, that's the most annoyingest soundtrack. That's not even a word. But they would say it, okay? They would say it was the most annoyingest soundtrack they ever heard. And that's exactly what I was thinking about. And I never watched the movie since. And it was like, they claimed that it was like a nursery rhyme, and they was trying to make it go with the movie, but it didn't. It was just annoying. It was exhausting. Like, I just, my ears were bleeding. Bleeding. But yeah, there's people who they like this movie, and I get it because I think they saw it when they were, like, little kids, and they hold on to it. And I'm sorry, but it's just that theme song. Like, after a while, I just mute it, and I just kind of just put on subtitles. I would rather just read so I don't have to, like, listen to that crap. So that's wow. That's the only one that really, like, messed me up so bad. Like, there's been, you know, movies that I've seen where it's like they'll keep on playing the same song over and over again, like, and it was kind of annoying, but you really didn't mind. Like, I know there's this this French slasher movie that was directed by Jess Franco called mm-hmm. Faceless, and it's actually a really cool movie, but they keep on playing the same song over and over again where it's kind of like, I don't know, but it was kind of catchy, so I didn't mind.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't have ones that really are off-putting for me.
Okay.
So.
Alrighty.
But I think that was interesting. You know, listeners, if you have a soundtrack that you enjoy, please let us know on Twitter.
Or if you have a soundtrack that you hate, let us know as well.
Yeah, hate more so. Yeah, because that's totally out of my wheelhouse. I mean, I never even thought about hate. So.
I mean, neither until that movie came up. You know. But okay, do you have anything else? Any other movies or shows you want to bring up?
No, I don't. Again, I could go down all the movies that I've seen, especially horror movies, and I've always there's always something about the soundtrack, whether it's the score or a song that's used, that I really enjoy. Except for Ghostbusters, because that just, and I only say Ghostbusters because if I hear that Ray Parker Jr. song again one more time, and I cannot imagine. I was a toddler in '84, so I don't remember it, but I would probably broke my radio, because it's one of those things where you just hear it way too much, and mm-hmm. it loses its magic.
Okay. Alrighty. So when we come back, we are going to get into our movie discussion on The Black Coat's Daughter.
The Black Coat's Daughter was originally released in 2015 with the title February. The synopsis reads, two terrified girls must battle a mysterious evil force when they get left behind at their boarding school over winter break in this chilling, suspenseful horror film. This was written and directed by Osgood Perkins and stars Emma Roberts as Joan Marsh, Lauren Holly as Linda, Kiernan Shipka as Kat, Lucy Boynton as Rose and James Remar as Bill. So just to get started, see, I kind of have a substantial amount to say about it, but, you know, we had talked, you know, prior to this about your hesitancy. I don't know if maybe I'm wrong, but that, like, you know, trying to figure out what could be said about this movie, especially without spoiling, because this has not been released yet, so we don't want to spoil it for you guys, but kind of talk about, like, your kind of hesitation with this or your experience with it.
So I kind of went in blind. I didn't read the synopsis. I didn't watch the trailer. I just only knew that Emma Roberts was in this movie. I like Emma Roberts, so I wanted to check it out. It just really didn't do anything for me. And I know that it's like a slow burn, supernatural, thriller, horror. I get that. So usually with those, it sounds and it is kind of generic in some kind of sense. But I don't know. It has like an eeriness about it, you know, but I guess it's just a quiet movie. It's probably too quiet for me. Maybe I need to go back and watch it again, but I don't know because I watched it three times. Just really, it didn't do anything for me. And as we were talking about and we even said, you can't really go into too much detail because you'll be giving out a spoiler with this movie. But I can say this one thing, and it just seemed like I remember hearing from other people who have seen the movie and how great it is and how wonderful it is, and that, you know, oh, it's changing the horror game, you know, like how people always say, how they were saying with, you know, It Follows, The Babadook, You're Next, all those other movies. And it's just like, honestly, I don't know if this should be. Or, I mean, I know I don't decide this, you know, for other people, but it's not that kind of movie. And I don't feel it lived up to the hype. I don't know. I can't recommend it to people. I can't do it because there's some good in it. You know, like the acting is amazing. But yeah, that's all I got. That's all I have to say.
So what I'll say is don't take this film at face value. Even the trailer is a little bit, I would argue, misleading, and not in a bad way, because I did enjoy the movie. I think it's one of those movies, again, that is not, it's not depressing, but it's a downer. It is a movie that gets under your skin and the typical kind of visceral horror fashion, I think with some elements to it, but also it's really a movie, and I hope this isn't giving too much away, but it's a movie that really kind of digs into the idea of loneliness, and really the idea of loneliness being just, you know, the end all be all, and kind of, you know, there is no relief for that. And that's all I'll say. I hope that's not too much of a spoiler for you guys. And I just think that's, and it's, again, it's one of my triggers. So I think that's one of the reasons why I enjoyed it, but it definitely does have its creepy moments, and it is extremely atmospheric, and it is quiet, and it is a very intentionally paced film, i.e. slower than your mainstream fare that you would go to the movies to go see as far as horror, more or less. Because I guess The Witch was kind of slow. I don't know if I would call The Witch slow, but yeah. So, I mean, that's what I would say about it. I would recommend it, but I would recommend it to people that appreciate a movie that would appreciate this kind of a movie that is a slow burn and that is very quiet, and that it does have those certain moments that are very jarring. And even the moments, I think there's one particular moment in the movie that you don't expect, and that's really, it's very cryptic too. But for the most part, you can kind of see the trajectory of what's going on, especially if you watch it, you know, if you watch it once and then watch it again. If that makes any sense. Again, I think the movie is supposed to come out September 30th. At first, it was supposed to come out in the summer. And then I heard another thing on Bloody Disgusting where it says it was coming out in 2017. And now they're saying it's coming out at the end of this month. So apologies. We don't have this. We don't have the distribution people in our ears about this particular movie. So I'm hoping it comes out on the 30th. And if you want to do want to check it out, I would say check it out again. It's not, it's just one of those films that you can't, this is why I don't like, saying, you know, what movie that a person will or will not like, because I think everyone is so different. Mm-hmm. Now me, clearly, just as an example, me and Dina have very different views on this film, where mm-hmm. she wouldn't recommend it and I would, and it's hard because everyone's different. So
right.
It's hard for us to say if you would like it or if you wouldn't like it, you know?
Well, I'll recommend it to people. This is probably going to be general, and I feel like, because I know we had this whole discussion on even recommending movies to people, and I really don't mind doing it, but I usually kind of give a disclaimer beforehand. So with this movie, if you like dark movies, that's a slow burn, this may be for you. But if that's not your taste, you may not like it. I don't mind dark movies or even slow-paced movies, but this one just didn't do anything for me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's great things about it, the acting is wonderful. The twists are pretty surprising, but I don't know. I just, and it's, like I said, I watched it three times because the first time I couldn't really get into it. The second time I had to stop it. I had something else going on. Then finally, with the third time, just watching it fully through, I made sure to, because you know, sometimes you'll have your phone in your hand,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I try not to do that because I feel like you'll miss out. So I don't know, but yeah, I'm sorry, I just completely took
over. No, that's fine.
So
yeah, because it's again, we don't want to say too much about it,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, I think everything that you would. I think everything that you would either say, maybe I'll check it out later, maybe I'll just skip this one, I think we both kind of covered. But I did kind of want to bring this movie up because I feel like I had a reaction to it. And my first watch was pretty engaging because it was a movie I had been anticipating for a very long time to see. So when I finally got the screener for it, I really kind of sat down and kind of turned off everything, kind of focused. And, you know, talking about soundtracks, again, this one I thought was really effective for me as well. So, there's no overwhelming, you know, see this movie or don't see this movie for me either.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you kind of like those really, like, like those puzzle piece kind of films, check it out.
So why do you think that they changed up the name?
Yeah, I have that on my notes too. I don't know. A lot of people who saw it before me are saying the same thing. I mean, I honestly don't know. I mean, with this title, it's literal or not, if that makes any sense. Again, I think it'll kind of tiptoe into spoiler territory if we kind of talk about why it's called The Black Coat's Daughter, but not really. Again, I'm kind of like, and I'm not saying this to kind of play it off or lie. It's literal and it's not so much very literal at all. Again, I feel like I sound like a mess, so I apologize if I'm confusing anyone. But it's once you see the film, you can kind of make that judgment for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the movie being originally called February, I mean, again, I don't know if that has even. I think that has less of a deeper meaning than The Black Coat's Daughter. But that's
okay.
Just me.
So did you have an actor that you felt really stood out in the film?
I thought all the performances were really good.
Mm-hmm.
I thought James Remar was interesting.
Yes.
And I think it's for me, it's kind of sad that I'm at a point where I'm watching certain films where I'm thinking the worst of people automatically. And that's not the case. Again, I'm trying not to spoil it. I will say that is not necessarily the case for his character. So,
mm-hmm.
where when I originally was watching a trailer for this, I was thinking something, I thought something totally different, and I got something that was not the case. Again, it is a movie that has some pretty good twists. Like, if you've been a follower of kind of this movie, if this movie has been on your radar and you saw the trailer, you are going to get something relatively different than what you may be expecting.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
I do agree with James. I felt like it just seemed like he really was able to become that character. So that was great. And I think I'm going to go with Lucy Boynton. Is that how you pronounce her name?
The girl, the brunette?
Yes. Even though I know that she... just with her. I know that she's not in it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really
a
spoiler. But just something about her character I really liked.
Yeah, her name was Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I said, I think Perkins does a lot of things intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so hard to not... I really don't like talking about films and being non-spoiler, because I can really get into a discussion about this. But I don't want to, because I want you all guys to experience it for yourself. But yeah, because there are certain parts of the movie, especially her interactions with Kat, that especially towards the end, where it's just like, I know why there are certain behaviors and there are certain actions that are being done and being inflicted. They're intentional, and they're intentional for a reason. And they will make sense to you once you see the movie from beginning to end. So yeah, I thought she was pretty cool. I mean, she's to me, she was kind of your typical character type, but at the very least, for the screen time she did have, and for her connection with other characters, she did have a level of depth that I thought was. That I really appreciated.
And it's weird because, again, can't go into detail, there was something I felt that was dark about her. Even though she was the typical character, which I think we need to talk about this off air, but because there's certain scenes that just pop up in my head where it's kind of typical, but it's just like, wait a minute, what was that? You know? So that's what I came across. I did want to ask you, what do you think about the director? I heard that this is like his first feature.
I don't think, because I saw him credited for doing another movie with Bianca Lawson, and it was one of them like
Dead and Breakfast.
Like, Dead and Breakfast, right?
And
like,
he's
was that? Oh, what was he?
He was an actor.
Wait,
he was Johnny in Dead and Breakfast. That movie. God, that movie's terrible. But
I haven't seen it. So.
Yeah, he's a it's like a comedy horror. But
yeah,
he's an actor. He was also in Legally Blonde and Not Another Teen Movie. He was in movies, and also his dad is Anthony Perkins.
Right, exactly.
So I think it's pretty great. Like, he did visually, the movie is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it does have like that creepy feel to it. It has a creepy soundtrack. All the, like, the eeriness is there. I'd love to see more of his movies. I think he did a wonderful job.
Yeah, well, I'm hearing really good things about I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House.
Hmm.
So, which is his next movie.
Okay.
So, which he wrote and directed as well.
Is that one another horror, or?
I think it's a horror movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's getting really good. That's really getting really good buzz.
Wonderful.
So it is a horror movie.
Yay. Okay. So did you have anything else you wanted to share about the Black Coat's Daughter?
I don't want to spoil. So no.
Okay.
Check it out. I mean, maybe. I don't know. Again, it's up to you.
So I think that we need to come back to this movie once it's out there already and, like, really, like, dissect. Because there's so many layers. So, you know, I mean, I didn't care for it, but I know there's layers. So, but yeah. So what's your rating?
Oh, yeah. I would give it... I honestly, I'm going to give it a 4.5.
Okay.
Because I really, it's my kind of movie.
Alrighty. And what about your Minority Report?
You know what's funny? There is a character of color credited in on the IMDb page, mm-hmm. but and I think you see her in shadow in this very, very quick flashback. I think no, it wasn't her, but it was someone else. But I'm gonna give it a one because yeah, I mean maybe there are some scenes cut. I don't know, mm-hmm. but as far as visual representation of ethnic diversity, there really isn't any.
Okay. Well, I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5 Queen Skulls just because it's not my cup of tea, but it's not a bad movie. And Minority Report, I'm going to go with, you know, 1 as well, whiter than the Oscars. I didn't see anyone of color.
Yeah, I don't think, yeah. Like I said, very brief flashback. I'm pretty sure I saw someone, but it's not worth noting.
Okay. Alrighty. So when we come back, we're going to go over what movies we've been watching lately and some recommendations. Okay, guys, so I'm going to recommend to you guys 2 movies because I've been watching a lot of different types of horror movies last month as well as in July. So I am a fan of zombie movies still, even though I know that they're slightly played out. But I came across this one zombie movie that was released back in 2013. I remember seeing the cover for it. It was just like, you know, kind of thing. Like, it just kind of seems like once you've seen one zombie movie, you've seen it all. But this one really stood out for me, and this is why I'm going to suggest it. So I'll just dive into it. So the movie is called The Demented. So some people will claim that it's a mix between Night of the Living Dead with the crazies with kind of 28 Days Later. So basically, these college friends, they decide to get together for a weekend, you know, they always do, I believe in New Orleans, and then they just find that there's some kind of, like, biological weapon that lands, and it's airborne, and it spreads, and it turns people into these, like, raging zombies. And it happens so fast, and it's like people start vomiting blood, and they're just wanting flesh. So it starts off pretty, it has really great elements into it. And even though it came out in 2013, I really don't want to give any spoilers, but sometimes it's just nice, I feel, to come across a nice feel horror or even like an entertaining zombie movie. Because I don't really come across entertaining ones as much as I would like. Still, for some reason, I find that I'm always searching for it. And I remember checking out this movie and I really liked it. I watched it first back in February or January when I was visiting some family. And then I recently watched it again back in July, end of July, and fell in love with it. So if you're a fan of zombie movies that is at a fast pace and the characters actually have common sense, at least some of them, I'd recommend this, you know, and plus it happened in a different way. It wasn't as typical as you think, and it wasn't in like a major, major city. So I really enjoyed that. So that's the first one. Would you like me to keep on going, or would you want to give your recommendation?
You have another one, right?
I do.
Okay.
Another one. Okay. So I have been kind of obsessed with this movie ever since I watched it. This one is the movie I wanted to mention earlier. It's called Evidence, and it came out in 2013. It has horror elements, but it's more of a crime thriller, still a horror. So I cannot pronounce the director's name. I'm not even going to try because, you know. But anyway, so with this movie, it is a found footage movie. And I remember saying to you, I'm not big on found footage. And I've never, ever had this feeling of inspiration after watching a found footage movie. Because I feel like I've seen them all. I remember watching Diary of the Dead. And I was just so aggravated with that boy who would not put down that camera while his friends are being eaten. You know, it was crazy. But with this one, it kind of made sense. Kind of. There are some, you know, plot holes. Like, hey, wait a minute. What's that? But basically, it's about this. I'm trying not to give spoilers. But it is on. I wonder if I should give spoilers for this one. I don't know. Well, it is streaming on Netflix. So basically, there was some kind of massacre that happened in Nevada in the desert. And the police, they find this footage of everything that happened. So then they're trying to put everything together. And they're watching the footage that they found from the beginning. So there are these two girls. They live in LA. One of the girls, she wants to be an actress. She wants to be the best actress. Her name is Leanne, and she moved out to LA to become that. I know that's typical. Her friend Rachel, she wants to be a filmmaker. She says that she wants to be the best filmmaker ever. So then Rachel decides, like, hey, you know, my best friend Leanne, she's a wonderful actress, and I feel like people are going to want to see her before, or want to know her path to stardom. They're going to want to see her, you know, what makes this girl so great. So they pretty much decide, like, okay, Rachel, who wants to be the filmmaker, she says that, you know what, I'm going to film you, Leanne, and people are going to know about you. So they pretty much, that's the reason why there's this footage. So she just, Leanne received this role for a play, a local play. It's small, but it's a start, and she's so excited about it, and she does a great job. Leanne, just finished acting on stage, and the crowd is going crazy over her. Rachel behind the camera, she's filming, you know, everything, as obviously. And Leanne's boyfriend shows up, he proposes to her, and she pretty much says no. I mean, he had a guitar and he was just singing, ooh, whatever. I don't remember what he was singing. But yeah, she declined, it was embarrassing, and he just left angry. So then it starts off that plot. But then pretty much they decide to take a trip to Vegas, and they invite Leanne's boyfriend Tyler, and pretty much on their way, they pick up like three other passengers that they don't know, because it's kind of like a party bus. So there's the bus driver, I forgot his name, but you've probably seen him. I'm pretty sure you've probably seen him before. He's a black guy, real cool guy, he's an actor. They pick up a dancer named Vicky, a 16-year-old, and some random lady on their, you know, route to Vegas. Somehow, while driving, the bus gets turned over, and they don't know, it just completely flips over. Like, they ran over something. Found out they ran over barbed wire. And so they're trying to figure out why, what's going on. One by one, people are getting murdered. They are getting murdered in the most crazy kind of ways. Like with a fire torch, and you can see it. You can feel the heat. And I know you're just like watching. And this is all through like found footage, because with one of the girls, like, who was carrying the camera, like, she had it. She was getting attacked. It was just amazing. And it just completely took me by surprise. This movie, because it is a found footage movie, it has a great message to it. For people who have seen it, maybe you think that I'm crazy for saying this because it is a horror movie, or people who haven't seen it may feel that way. But yeah, like, the police try to, you know, figure out what happened. They're putting all these pieces together, and there's this one particular scene where one of the characters, they get murdered, and he can't talk because there's something stuck in his throat. I mean, he pretty much gets so gutted like a fish, and they're trying to figure out, well, what happened to him. Where is this? There's like a cycle that's there, that's going mm-hmm. around killing people, like, with welding tools. And it is insane with the police trying to, you know, frame the footage, trying to figure out what it is. They even, with the character who was gutted, and the police find something in his throat, and they're able to take it out. And I believe it's like an SD card. So it's just like, it was brutal. Like, there's some, like I said, there's plot holes. There's things that, you know, doesn't really make any sense in this movie. But, oh my gosh, I was blown away. Truth be told, I only put this movie on because I needed, this was around the time when I started, like, packing starting to pack up. So I just needed to hear something in the background. And I found myself just completely hooked. Ashley, I was so inspired by this movie. I ran out and I bought a new camera.
Oh, wow.
Because I was just inspired to start filming everything. And I was inspired to start vlogging. And so that's what I've been pretty much been editing a lot. So when I would say, oh, I'm going to edit, or I've been editing, and I bought the camera back in August. It was early August, I believe. And yeah, I've been filming ever since and just putting some footage together because this movie really inspired me. And when we're off air, I'd like to tell you the ending. If you're not interested in seeing the movie, but if you are interested in seeing the movie, then I won't say anything because it's like I want to tell the ending so bad.
Well, yeah, you should let people watch the movie. Yeah.
I know, but it's just I just want to talk about this movie because what's crazy to me, I was like I said, it's I've seen found footage movies before. I've seen them, and it just seems sloppy. It just seems like all these things, especially when I saw The Gallows. Oh, my God. So, but when I saw this one, it was just great. And just the fact that it received such low reviews, like, whoa. Like, and it's like, it's just weird that I was just inspired by it. And, you know, I'm able to recognize, like I said, it's not a perfect movie. There are plot holes, but there's just something about it that was just inspiring.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yes. So, yeah, those are my two recommendations. Evidence, which came out in 2013. It is streaming on Netflix right now. I believe Hulu as well. In The Demented, which came out as well as in 2013. It's a zombie flick. Excuse me, tongue-tied. Okay, I'm done.
Well, yeah, mine is not as... mine's pretty underwhelming. But it's one of those movies that I can finally cross off my list because it was the first time I saw it. So it's Maniac Cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it for what it is. It's one of those action genre late 80s. Mm-hmm. I forget when it came out. But yeah, I'm glad I finally saw it. It's got a great cast. Of course,
yeah.
It's got Tom Atkins and Bruce Campbell. So, I'm glad I finally did see it. I've been mostly just catching up on a lot of television lately. I haven't really gotten into watching too many movies because I've been pretty indecisive about what I want to see, but that's nothing new. So.
Mm-hmm. Which I can understand. You know, it is hard deciding to watch movies, especially when you don't have a lot of time.
Yeah, you just don't know what to
mm-hmm.
give your time to for the most part. So.
I get it. Well, I'm glad that you enjoyed Maniac Cop. I think it's a fun movie. And on top of that, I know this is a company called Creepy Company. They actually sell like this really cool pin of his head. It's great. And they sell it. I think they still have the head. And they also kind of have like his badge.
Oh, the Maniac Cop. Okay.
Yeah, and it's really, they're really affordable. They have great prices. Not saying you have to run out and buy it, but just an FYI if anyone's interested.
Yeah, they're pretty popular now, all those pens, because
mm-hmm.
they're making them.
Yeah. You know what pen I really, really want? I saw that Cavity, what's that place called?
Cavity Colors.
Yes, Cavity Colors. They used to have this pen, and it was last year, and I missed out on it by, like, 2 weeks, and I'm so mad at myself. It's a pen from Starry Eyes.
Oh, I think I know which one.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I wanted it so bad, and it was, it was a part of that just satanic cult. And I know I'm like, it's satanic, but I just want to have it. I just want to look at it. I just love that movie. So, but yeah, that's. I'm sorry. I'm just so full of caffeine and ready to roll. Just. Okay, so when we come back, we are going to give you guys.
Close out the show.
Yes, we're going to close out the show.
So I just want to thank Jamie Sammons from Devour the Podcast, The Skeleton Crew, Evil Episodes, The ABCs of Horror, and 12 other podcasts for letting us know that Trick or Treat Radio shouted us out, and just want to say thank you to them as well. Trick or Treat Radio is on Twitter. They are at The Deadites, which is the word the, and then DEADITES, and also trickortreatradio.com. So thank you guys, because I wouldn't have known unless Jamie told us. So
yes,
just thank you so much for listening. Also, you know, there are a couple of podcasts that are kind of back from hiatus or indefinite hiatus. I don't know. But Banana Laser is finally back. If you, again, another great horror podcast that's really fun to listen to. Also, Devour the Podcast, which I thought would never come back. They just had a recent episode where Jamie, the one I just mentioned, also Dave and Bo, who is our Legion Podcast leader, they are back kind of talking about the horror films that they've just recently watched and pretty much what they're up to, which is always a fun conversation. I don't know about you, Zena, but like I just like my some of my recent ones that I've been like podcasts that I've been like catching up with as far as the horror podcast, the Half-Assed Horror Podcast, which has
I've
a wonderful wonderful black girl named Kia, who is a part of the podcast, which,
Kia.
Which I love. Also, the podcast Under the Stairs. If you are a Stephen King movie fan, they are doing a whole series of talking about Stephen King movies. And also Exploding Heads, which is a horror podcast. They keep pumping out episodes, and they're kind of just talking about other films. I think they did talk about The Black Post Daughter. My favorite is still their conversation about The Invitation. And I want to thank Dave Z once more, because I won this random contest where I just kind of left a review on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
and he picked me as the winner. So I got some really cool things, like I'm developing an addiction to Funko Pops, and I want to collect as many as I possibly can. So I finally got a Leatherface one.
Yay.
And what else did I want to say? Oh, yeah. Okay, so yeah, that kind of segues into us right before I want to let give Zena the floor. Rate us on iTunes, please, even if you hate the show. Just give us 5 stars, give us 4 stars, give us however many stars, but just talk about us on iTunes, because I think it matters for some reason. I don't really know why, but we would like to hear from you.
We definitely would love to hear from you. Thank you guys for listening. We're happy to be back, bring you guys a brand new episode. October is going to be a wonderful episode as well. Just thank you for supporting us and listening, and all the people who share and send in questions and send in just even some kind of requests. We really appreciate it.
And as usual, we will link our email address for the Girls Will Be Wolves podcast. We're also on Twitter at GWBG podcast. Our site is still currently girlswillbeghouls.wordpress.com. Not only are we on iTunes, but we're also on Stitcher and a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. That is legionpodcast.com. And I am Graveyard Sister on Twitter, and I'm on Facebook and Tumblr and all that stuff that you already know, I hope. So, but if you need any links, you can always go to Twitter at Graveyard Sister, and also find, you know, Facebook at facebook.com/GraveyardShiftSisters.
You guys can find me at realqueenofhorror.com, on Twitter, Lovely Zena, Facebook, you know, facebook.com/realqueenofhorror. All right, thank you guys again for listening.
Bye, everybody.